Please be seated. Now, you can turn to Luke 13 for the next one of our parables of Luke. We're doing a couple three today, actually. Luke 13 to start, but my opening disclaimer, as we prepare for the holidays. See, what I'm doing this year is looking at, if I don't prepare you for the ultimate holiday, I'm not doing my job. And it's not for Rosh Hashanah that we hear the shofar and the call to repentance and we went down the list of the sins we were guilty of and confessed them and so on. That's a part of it, but there's the next step. If you are not prepared for that ultimate moment, you know, when we come to Yom Kippur, the ancient rabbis say that if you're going to sum it up into one little short sentence, it's the question, are you right with God? Okay, that's the question. Are you right with God? And the 10 days of repentance are supposed to bring us to that place of being right with Him. But you see, there's coming a day of judgment. In our Luke study, we just finished John the Baptist, and his message was one of get ready, because the Messiah is coming. And he brings two things. He brings salvation, and he brings judgment. Okay, now it's real easy to ignore the judgment part and talk about the other stuff. But I'm not doing my job if I don't talk about the other stuff, because the call to repentance, and John's message was, if you don't repent, you face the judgment. So it's an action thing. If we don't do the holiday, there's consequences to it. And John was very clear in that. He said Yeshua comes with two kinds of baptisms. His was water for repentance. Yeshua comes with baptism of the Holy Spirit to those he gives salvation to, or another baptism of fire, of judgment. And the bottom line is that one way, you're going to get one or the other. One or the other. So my call this year is make sure you're on the right side of the fence, which is the intro to what we're doing here. Luke 13. Let's take a look at this first parable. Luke 13, verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And one said to him, Lord, are there a few who are saved? By the way, this is a common question about how many people are really going to be saved? A lot? A few? And who are, you know, when I was a youth pastor, we got that one all the time. Okay. Good. It's still an okay question. Okay. Are there few who are saved? And he said to them, the group, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? You'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. And you taught in our streets. And we heard your teachings, okay? But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And then there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom of God. By the way, that they will come back then, and rightly so, they are interpreting that as Gentiles coming into the kingdom. Here's Gentiles sitting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jewish people who weren't allowed in. That's a theme of a grouping of parables. Okay? So, and indeed, verse 30, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. The door was shut. The door was shut. Well, Yeshua was asked a question. Are there few that are saved? You notice he didn't answer the question, okay? Because that would have started a debate on soteriology. the doctrine of salvation. Who's really saved? Okay? Can you lose your salvation? Are you saved for eternity? Okay, you know, the thing goes on and on and on and on. Yeshua didn't get into the debate at all, because that's not the point. And we need to focus on the point of some of the stuff of derailment, of what's really important. Yeshua said, instead of debating, look at yourself. Look at yourself. That's the theme of this holiday. Are you saved? That's what's important. Don't worry about everybody else. Are you saved? And that's the fall holiday theme. What's going on with you, inside of you? Okay, not everybody else. We can make a long list of everybody else's faults. Look in, okay? My list is getting big, by the way, this year. His advice. Use the little door. If you get up there and there's two doors, big one, little one, use the little one, okay? That door is still open today. That door is still open. But there will come a day when the door will be closed. The master, interesting terms he uses, the master will shut the door. Opportunity to enter. That door is limited. Okay, it's not always going to be open. There will come a day when the master of the house will close the door. He will close the door that is now open. It's open today. People think it's always going to be open. People have a misunderstanding of grace. Think about this, and we'll end it with this later in the message, but maybe grace isn't always going to be. Maybe grace is now. Because when you come to the judgment, and we're going to get there in this message, there's a time that grace ends. You are in grace now. You have opportunity now. There's coming a time that the door will be shut. The door will be shut. Okay? After the door was shut, he said, many will say, but Lord, we know all about you. We've heard your teachings. That's nice. Okay. Yeshua will say, but I don't know you. Salvation is not based on familiarity with him, but by a personal relationship with him that is expressed when he can say, I know you. John chapter 10 says he calls you by name. Calls you by name. Okay, calls you by name. John chapter 10 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I call them by name. Close relationship, okay, first name basis. You may be familiar with Yeshua and his word. You can pass the test on who said what, did what, okay? You went to Bible college and you passed the test of the Gospels. They were saying, we've listened to your teachings. That's nice. We attended Shabbat services. We fellowshiped with believers. We ate at your own egg and lived, okay? We went to the Coles house for dinner, okay? Well, that's nice. That doesn't get you in. That's not enough. Salvation is the gift that you receive when you know him and when he knows you. It's a dual way of knowing. By the way, you know, that word for him knowing you is a very intimate term. He knows you deeply. Okay? It's a personal relationship. There is a limit to the opportunity. The day will come. That's the point of this. The day will come when he will close the door. We don't close the door, because we would never close the door, see? But he will. He will close the door. In that day, familiarity won't reopen the door. Which side of the door are you going to be on is the question of today. There's two sides to that door. Which side are you going to be on? Don't worry about somebody else today. Which side are you going to be on today? Because you know what? In a nice group of people like this, I think if this guy was here today, he might ask the question different. He would say, Lord, are there people in this room who are not saved? I think that's true. I don't know who you are. He does. I think you do. This may be your opportunity, okay? But I think there are people here that haven't made that commitment in their heart. They show up, they like the dance, they like all the stuff, they don't like the food. But does he know you? Do you know him? Is the question. Are you ready? And we saw this in John the Baptist's teaching and in Yeshua's teaching several times as we go through Luke. We're not there yet. We did one with John. Jewish people will say, but I have the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in my veins. That's great. Bless you. But that doesn't open the door. And John the Baptist said that. He said, that's nice. God can raise up people from Abraham from these stones if he wants to. Okay? You have to have the blood of Yeshua being shed for you, and you receive his gift. That's what, no matter who you are, that's what makes the difference. It's not your bloodline. But then he says there's people outside the bloodline that come in that door. People outside the bloodline that come in the door and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a picture in several parables and teachings, and it finishes in Revelation, of the world's greatest dinner. Well, it's not the world anymore. The greatest dinner of all time, by invitation. You going to be there? Now, how is it that these people who aren't of the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob get in that door? Paul talked about that in Romans 11, the olive tree connection. The wild branches are grafted in. And when they're grafted in, they tap into the life of the tree and its source, the root, all right? The Jewish root. Gentiles are invited in to a Jewish tree with Jewish roots, okay? What do you think they're going to serve at that big dinner? I don't know. Okay, that's how they get in, though, because they know the Messiah. And the Messiah let them in. How did they come to know the Messiah? Because people like Luke and Paul and Barnabas went and told them. He said, let's go to the Gentiles, not your average Pharisee. Okay, he had some help. The Lord said, this is where you're going now. You're kidding, no? That's where you're going. A Pharisee, yeah, a Pharisee. Because they're going to listen. When Monica went to Africa, they listened. It was a simple presentation. They responded. When you tell them, they will hear, they will believe. He said, the problem is nobody's going. When you go, they will. So the question then in this teaching, are you in a right relationship with the master? That gets you in the door. You get that one right first before you worry about somebody else. Okay? So how are you doing? How are you doing? Make sure that you're okay. Make sure that, in these words, that you are saved. If you know him, you will be in the right number. In that number, whether small or great. How many are saved? Small or great? Doesn't matter the number. Which group are you in? You'll be in the right number. In the book of Revelation, by the way, we have a hint about the number. Okay? It's great. It's a big number. It's a big number. People listen. People listen. I think that in the end times that we're in right now, we're on the verge of a phenomenal missionary awakening where people are going to wake up and go. And as Monica found, when she gets there, a whole bunch of people are going to listen all at once. And the numbers are going to be explosive. Somebody has to go, though, to do that and tell them. It was really funny in sharing with Monica, I mean, her sharing with us. It was like, are you sure you guys understand what this is all about? Because this is too easy. Yeah, we get it. Where's Yeshua? He's right here. Okay. See, it's hard here. Other places, it's not as hard as here. Because it's a divine appointment. God has prepared them for the message that we're supposed to go and give. So Luke had been there. He says, this stuff works. When you go, they listen. You'll be in the right number. When the door is shut, which side of the door are you going to be on? Well, let's go on. Luke 14, verse 1. Next chapter. See what happens next. Now, it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. Not just a Pharisee, one of the rulers of the Pharisees. By the way, that term probably means a member of the Sanhedrin. He's a big guy, a Supreme Court justice. Okay? VIP. Okay? And he sat down on Shabbat. He's going there for a Shabbat dinner with a member of the Supreme Court. That they watched him closely. Okay, isn't that amazing? Are you going to make a mistake? Behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. You know, this sick guy. Yeshua answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees. Isn't it funny? Here's the Messiah seemingly getting permission from the attorneys. Is this okay? Is this okay? I think there's a lot of sarcasm in this. Is this okay? Here's this poor guy that needs to be touched. Is this okay? It's a Shabbat. Okay. I think there was some fun here. I think there's lots of humor in Scripture. And Yeshua said, is it lawful to heal on Shabbat? Because he knew all the rulings. But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that's fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on Shabbat? But they could not answer him regarding these things. So then he told a parable to those who were invited, okay, who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, okay, this is saying to the VIPs, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give me to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, come up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. In other words, the host will seat you in the right place. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he also said to him who invited him, now he goes to the big shot who invited him. He's talking to the group now. Now he's going to the owner of the house. When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. In other words, what's your motivation? But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. That's where Monica went. That's where Janice went. And they were touched, and they responded. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Isn't it neat to do something for someone that doesn't have anything? They can't give you anything back. That's neat to do, by the way. But you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. This is table talk. It's getting pretty deep. Now we're getting to the point. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. They knew about that future big feast. Blessed is he who sits at that one. You know, the one that the Messiah hosts. It's kind of like implying, can you tell us about that? And he said, here's the next parable. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited. And there's the word invited keeps showing up here. Invited, invited, invited. And he said, come, for all things are now ready. There's a time where everything is ready and it's come now. Come now. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. By the way, do you know what the Greek word for excuses is? Excuses. What's really kind of funny is if all these parallels of words, but when you come to this one, you go, it really means excuses. In other words, not good ones. It's not a good reason. It's an excuse. There's a difference in the wording. And the first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I got to sign escrow papers, okay? I ask you that I can be excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to go and test them. They can't wait. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. This is a better one, though. I'll say that. Okay. So that servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house, being angry, who's the master? Who's angry? Said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. Are you hearing this? Yeshua wants us to do this. To go out and touch people that nobody else is touching, okay? And the servant said, Master, it is done. I like this guy, whoever that servant is. I like this guy. Master, it's done. It's done, as you commanded. And guess what? There's still room. We can invite some more. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Ask me in a minute what compel means. It doesn't mean compel, by the way. We'll come back to that. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. This is an answer to the guy's question. Are there few who are saved? There's a lot that are saved. Yeshua wants the house full. That's his will. Somebody's got to go tell them. And they'll listen, and the house is going to be full. For I say to you that none of those, who were invited, the invite thing again, shall taste my supper. Those who were invited made excuses, didn't have a good reason. It's a pretty important supper that the Messiah is having here. Here's the reason I can't come. It's not a good reason if he invites you. Think of the spiritual overtones of this. There's not a good reason you can give to his invitation. There's not a good reason. People have reasons, but there's no good ones. He gives an invitation to come to him. There will come a day when he will say, come in now. Come in now. Everything is ready. I prepared it. It's ready now. That's when you go in that door. You go right in. No diddling around, okay? It's prepared for you. I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Those people are ready. They're on his side of the door. Which side are you on? Are you ready? The word compel, okay? It's really a strong word. It means great intensity of urgency. It's like you have to come this second, now. You can't think about it. You can't go put the car in the garage. It's like right now. That's the urgency. That's the urgency of Yeshua giving the Great Commission, by the way. It was that emotion. It's go now. You have to do this now. It's like, that's not something that somebody else does. I mean, the whole picture of who we are and what we're to be in our lights and our beacons and representing him around us in this community as his ambassadors, there's an urgency to do that. There are people that are dying and are not going to be in heaven forever that we're supposed to go and tell. When he calls, do you enter the door or do you make an excuse? Well, I really can't come today because, you know, we already ate, by the way. No, what do you have? Who's coming? I get this one. If we're having a dinner, people say, well, we invite somebody. Well, who else is going to be there? That determines if they come. I don't like them. I'm not going to come. Okay. Guess we won't be invited back. Okay. Do you make an excuse? There's no good one. Some who are invited are not going to show. But they were given the invitation. That's grace. You have the invite. You have the invitation. But you make the decision. And before that great supper begins, the door is shut. The door is shut. At this time of the year, we can't force people to repent. We can't force people to believe. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We just invite them. The sound of the shofar is the invitation. Yeshua gives the invitation. These are matters of the heart. We do the inviting. But you could have a reserved seat there, you know? It's possible. With a place card. You can. Now, continuing on is in the same vein of thought. Turn back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 24 and 25 is Yeshua's sermon on the end times. Tons of stuff in this. One thing for us today. Two, maybe. Matthew 25. These are familiar. I'm only going to point out one or two things. Verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. We have a wedding picture here, okay? Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. A couple of weeks ago, we had a teaching about a foolish man, didn't we? Foolish man who wasn't ready, who wasn't prepared. He prepared for this life only. Okay, same picture here. There's a separation. Okay, a lot of Yeshua's parables have the separation, either or, sheep and goats, okay, this and that. Okay, wise and foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They didn't come prepared. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, I think he had a good reason to be delayed. Okay? That's okay. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Okay, all of them went to sleep. But at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." I think you might just hear that one day. The invite is to go and meet him. "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give me some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' 'We didn't come prepared.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No.'" Notice they didn't say, "I'll give you half. Out of the mercy and graciousness of my heart, I'll give you half of what I have." No, they didn't. There's a time in which you say no. There's a time to say no to people. Okay, they were told when to come, where to come, and what to bring, and they didn't do it. That's not your fault. Okay, just know that sometimes. All right. "Our lamps are going out," verse 9. "But the wise said, 'No, lest there should be not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came." Okay, when these guys, women, were out doing something they should have already done, the groom shows up. "And those who were ready," there you go, "went in with him to the wedding." And I got to tell you, the next line's a loud one. "And the door was shut." And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord," notice they're using the right term, "open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you." There's that same theme again. "I don't know you." Then Yeshua said, here's the point, "Watch, therefore, for you neither know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming, but be ready." But be ready. This picture is an illustration of his coming. And if you're in the camp that says, "Well, the second coming is not going to be for 250 more years," well, he's coming for you sooner than that. Okay, are you ready for that one? You better be ready for both, because they're both going to happen. His appearing will be a surprise, even to those who are ready. It'll be a surprise. It's like, oh, it's today? See, we don't think it's today, do we? Because if we thought it was today, you probably wouldn't be here today, which would be an excused absence. You'd be pleading with one of your loved ones, giving them one last shot. At least you better be. We don't think it's today. One of these days it's today. We'll go, "Oh, but Lord, my message isn't over yet." Well, yes, it is. It's done. You're done. Okay? It's going to be a surprise even to those who are prepared. The point of this whole thing is be ready. Are you ready? That's the point of this holiday season. Are you ready? But not for the holiday. Are you ready? Remember those, anybody here ever been downtown to LA to Pershing Square with all the strange people that are down there? Yeah, we've been down there. Anytime you go, there'll be people that don't shave or bathe and all that kind of stuff, but they carry signs that'll say things like, "Prepare to meet thy God." Are these guys really kooky? You know what? That's a scripture verse. That's one of our prophets said that. I think it's Amos. Prepare to meet your God, because you will. And what's going to happen when you do? Are you prepared? Because you're going to meet him. Are you going to have an excuse? Well, here's why. There aren't any good excuses on that day. The point is, be ready. Don't live in a questionable area of saying, "Well, I might be ready." If I ask you today, if I call out a name here today, I might, okay, and say, "Are you ready, so-and-so?" Okay? I don't want to hear, "Well, I sure hope so." I don't want to hear that one. That means you're not ready. What I want to hear is, "Yes, I am ready." That's the purpose of the preparation for the holiday. Are you ready? "And the door was shut." That's a loud verse. It's one of the strongest possible statements, the way it's stated. The door, I mean, it's to really get your attention. "And the door was shut." Right now it's open. Right now it's open. Now is the day of salvation. But we're going to hear. Now is the day of judgment at some point in time. And the door will be shut. Are you ready for that one? Are you ready for that one? In that sermon, Yeshua gave another illustration. It was like a double portion, a double illustration for strong emphasis. of this concept of the door being shut. Yeshua links the signs that we're to look for of his appearing to the days of Noah. And in 2 Peter, Peter teaches that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So Noah preached, probably repentance, and nobody listened. Okay? See, if we do go to that list of the days of Noah, what they're like, if you look at what all they're doing, a lot of it is just business as usual. They just are ignoring the preaching. They're ignoring the warnings. They're just going about it like he's not coming. There's no judgment. All right? He proclaimed a message for a long time. But time ran out. Time runs out. God's warning had been rejected. It was life as usual. But there was no preparation for judgment. Part of what this holiday is about is preparation for judgment. There's going to be a judgment. Are you prepared for that? And they kept on life as usual, Yeshua said, right up to the day. Right up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not believe that there would be judgment. There will. There will. One day God told Noah, Noah, now go into the ark. Now go. That day came. And then when Noah got in, Noah closed the door, right? Wrong. Noah didn't close the door. God closed the door. You ever thought about that? God closed the door. The lock was on the outside, not the inside. Probably really high up. But think about why. Why did God close the door? All through these teachings, it's God that closes the door. See, we don't close the door. He closes the door. Why? Noah would have heard the pleas and the screams of people he knew pounding on the door. Let me in. And Noah would have let him in. And so would you. And so would I. God took that decision away from Noah. It wasn't his. It was God's alone. Judgment is his decision alone. It's not ours. But the door was shut. In his timing, there is a time in which he closes the door. And the door was shut. Boy, that's loud. Everybody had reasons why it should be open. No good reasons. But it was shut. He shut it. And there was no more time. See, time's going to run out. Time as we know it will end. No more reasons not to be ready because there's no more time. Those who were ready went in. Everybody thought they had plenty of time to get ready, but they never even started. But time ran out, and I believe grace ran out, because that whole thing about Noah is the one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and nobody else did, and God put him in the ark, closed that door. There was no grace on the outside, just judgment. Keep that in mind. If we think that God's grace is good, if we show up and aren't prepared and we're facing him for judgment, it's not like, well, that's okay. We'll overlook all that stuff. Nope, not going to happen. If you have not received the gift of eternal life because Yeshua has paid for it and you have not had a personal relationship with him, it's not going to work. That's what gets you in. It's what he has done for you. And that's where the grace is. The grace is what, you don't deserve any of it. He did it all. He paid the full price on your behalf. They felt no urgency. These stories all have urgency in them. The Great Commission was given with a sense of urgency. It wasn't, oh, by the way, this would be a nice thing to do. It was, this is your priority. Now, looking at the signs in Matthew 24 and 25, it's like reading today's paper. We don't have to wonder if we're in the end times. It's right there. I turn on CNN to see which sign happened today. Okay? And literally. Are you ready? I mean, what do we have to have happen? Look at the paper, look at the TV, it's happening. All the signs in Matthew 24 and 25. I love it when all these people are speculating, these scientists, why are earthquakes happening so often now? And volcanoes, it's like they're showing the charts. It's right out of here, perfect. Are you ready? The door is going to close. And I believe soon. And we're almost out of time. Okay, which side of the door are you going to be on? Which side of the door? You know, the last 2 weeks had a great illustration on TV of this whole thing. For a long time, we were watching, well, if you're in my house, and Susan has the control, you watch the Weather Channel. That's the scariest channel on TV. It really, that's a scary channel. Doom and gloom, for sure, on that channel. And the Weather Channel. And there was a circular pattern out in the Atlantic. Okay, it was going this way. Well, this way, okay, this way. And everybody's watching this. Everybody's watching this. We're watching biblical words. And then as it approached the Caribbean, it began to become a tropical storm. It's increasing. We're watching it. What's going to happen? Where's it going to go? And then they predicted it was going to be a hurricane. They named it Ike, okay? And that it would make landfall near Galveston and go up and hit Houston. They're saying this days and days before it happens. Their predictions were absolutely correct on this one. They gave warnings. It's coming. And for sure it's coming. They told people, we saw this on TV, they told people, you must leave now. You must leave now. And many didn't. I mean, they went outside, look, there's not a cloud in the sky. Come on, we're going to be fine. Didn't heed the warning. Okay? And then it got more and more intense. And the weatherman said this, and we saw this one. He said, for sure it's coming. And if you don't leave, you will die. We heard that on TV. They were saying to the people of Galveston and Houston, if you don't leave, you will die. That's pretty blatant. And they said, here's what you do now. You take a pen that doesn't wipe off and write your social security number on your forearm. So when they find you, they'll know who you are. That's getting pretty serious, isn't it? People did that instead of leaving. Didn't heed the warning, and they died. They didn't have to. The warning was given. They could have been rescued. They could have been saved. They died needlessly, and that's what's going to happen. People that don't heed this warning, talk about the amount of grace we've been given. If you don't heed this, how many times have you heard this? You're hearing it one more time today, okay? One of two, that's only choices. One of two eternal destinies awaits all of us. There's not 42, there's two. And you make the choice on which one. It boils down to that. In John chapter 3, that chapter ends with this pretty blatant statement. It says this. Let me sum it up. Okay, the whole thing. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's about as simple as you can get. Do you have the Son or not? Do you have Yeshua or not? All the rest of the stuff doesn't mean a thing on that day when the door is shut. Do you have him? You know, it's not all the stuff you know, but I know all of this information. It's who you know, not what you know. Do you know him? Do you know him? Now, my last two messages, since you never forget a word I say, tune in. The door will be shut and the books will be opened. Interesting little thing, huh? The door will be shut, the books will be opened, and your name is written in one of them. Which one? Where's your name? And you will be somewhere for your eternal destiny. Where's that going to be? Where's that going to be? In the book of Revelation, Yeshua talks about the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, your door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. That's your door. If you invited him in, if you do, he'll come in. Simple as that. Simple as that. In the book of Revelation, it kind of ends with this thought. Blessed are those who are called to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You've been invited. You're going to be there? Or do you have an excuse? The invitations have been sent out. You're on the invite list. Are you going to be a no-show? When the door is shut, when the supper begins, where are you going to be? You going to be there? You can. Have you accepted the invitation? Have you accepted him? That's your RSVP. Thank you, Lord, that this is the ultimate preparation. Without this one, the rest don't make any difference at all. I pray as we prepare for the holiday that we would take a really good look within and make sure that we are saved. When Yeshua asked the guy that, when the man asked Yeshua that question, are there many saved? Yeshua said, what about you? That's my question to our congregation. Don't worry about the rest. What about you? Have you entered into a personal relationship with Yeshua, a living, vital relationship where you hear from him, where he speaks to you, where you open your heart before him, where he loves you in return, where you hear from him? You can. If you have never done that, we have people in the front this morning. They'll be there for prayer. Any kind of prayer, if you want them to pray with you and help you with this, they're here for that reason. You can leave this room knowing which of those two eternal destinies you've been given and have the assurance of that. Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.
Let's all stand.